And tonight we'll be talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's open our Bibles to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem. That's where they lived. In all Judea, that's around Jerusalem, and Samaria, that's out even further. And if that didn't cover everything, and to the end of the earth. So they received the power from the Holy Ghost, from the Holy Spirit, that comes on us, comes on them, to be witnesses. And again, a witness is someone that tells what they have seen and heard and what they've experienced. And as I've been studying the Holy Spirit, and as I studied for tonight, I'm realizing the reason why we haven't seen more miracles and more signs and wonders and more of the power of God flowing is there's not many people that are witnesses. That the power can't come on you until you are a witness. The power can't come on you until you preach the gospel and preach the word. I think many times we're waiting for something to happen, and nothing will happen until we go, until we do something, until we say something, until we act. And so this is tonight is a good night to get this revelation, because I think all of us here, if I would go to a person and go, you know, down the front row and down the second row, I mean, I think we all hunger and desire the power of God to flow through us. And I think we all desire to see miracles and to be a part of miracles. And I think every time we go to a meeting, every time we go to church, you have anticipation of great things happening. The Lord has been saying to me that if we want to experience miracles, we're going to have to be witnesses. We're going to have to be people that will share the gospel, will share the love of Jesus, that will share the word of God with people. Now, the power is part of the Holy Spirit package. It's not an add-on or an option. It's not something, well, I want this part and I don't want that part, or why don't you give me the leather and power windows. No, it's all part of the package here. And when he comes on you, he becomes the power source in your life. And now everybody in this class tonight should be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so we, in our lives, the power source, our power for living, our power to live out the Word of God, the source of that is the Holy Spirit. Now this word power in Acts 1 verse 8 is the word dynamis, the word dynamo, dynamite. It's in the Greek word as dynamis, but the word means energy, power, might, great force, great ability, strength. And so this is not something that you'll receive one day, or maybe you'll get it if you pray hard enough, or if you read the Bible enough. No, it's something that you have now when you were baptized in the Holy Spirit. You received the power. You received abilities, great abilities, great force, might, power, energy. And so you receive all these things when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So he anoints you with power from on high. You are now plugged into the power source. You're hooked up. You're connected. Now, just because that fan over there is plugged in to the power source, the power can flow it through it. It still has to be turned on. And hopefully tonight we'll learn a little bit how you can turn the power source on in your life. So the power is there. The power is available. It's in you. It's on you. It's available to flow through you. The secret in life, to being a successful Christian, is learning how that power can flow through, learning how to release it. To be anointed means that the Holy Spirit has rubbed himself onto you and smeared himself into you. So he comes on you. His power rubs off on you, and you become anointed with the Holy Ghost power. You know, and sometimes we'll even say that about someone that sings. They say, boy, that person was really anointed tonight. Or someone that's ministering, boy, they were really anointed. What do we mean by that? We mean when we say that we see less of the person and more of Jesus. Less of the person's presence and more of God's presence flows through that person. And you say, man, that person was anointed. Jesus' ministry was known for the great demonstration of God's power. Look over in Luke chapter 4. He launched his earthly ministry with a message of the good news. that he was anointed. And he talked about the anointing, as we'll read here. That's an important thing for you. If you want to learn to have the anointing flow through you, you need to talk about it. You need to say in your prayer time and say in your confession time, begin to say, I am anointed. I am anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. And if you have an opportunity when you're ministering as the Lord directs, talk about the anointing that's on your life. We talk about all the time the our anointing to bless our world with the power of the good news. We talk all the time about the anointing to carry out the vision here in the church. Well, the more we talk about it, the more it happens. The more we magnify, the bigger it gets in your life, the more of a reality that it gets in your life. And so if you want this power to flow through you, you need to talk about it. And not just, you know, every once in a while, but talk about it on a daily basis. Talk about the anointing and the power of God flowing on your life, in your life, today. Now, the anointing is not to make you look good. The anointing is to minister to people, and we'll go more into that. But that's really what the anointing is for. It's to remove burdens. This is Isaiah 10:27 now. To remove burdens and destroy yokes. To remove burdens and yokes that the enemy has placed on people. Jesus has given each one of us here that are born again tonight the ministry of reconciliation. We're ambassadors for Christ, and we're to be ambassadors for Him, representatives for Him, to minister and help other people. That's what it's about. Now, He will, you know, we talk about anointings to minister and anointings to preach and anointings to sing. We talk about anointings to make money. That anointing will only work for you if your motives are right and you making money. You making money is not so you can just have a big house and nice cars and have all the things you ever dreamed of. If you want to have an anointing to prosper and an anointing to make money, your heart needs to be God's heart. And God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So in the process of you having that anointing working in you to make money, and once the money starts flowing in, now you have to start asking yourself questions. Are you using that money for the gospel? You know, a lot of us say, well, when I really become rich, then I'll start funneling money in to preach the gospel. No, if you don't funnel in right now where you're at, you won't funnel it in later. And so, you know, there's an anointing to work in the ministry of helps. What is the purpose of the ministry of helps? The anointing will come on you to be a help when you're hooked up with a vision. And again, the whole vision of the church is to minister to people. So a lot of these things, for the power to flow through you, is going to come down to your motive. What is your motive for that power to flow through you? Is it, for, again, so people will look at you? So people will think you're great? Will people think you're spiritual? Or is it for you have a desire to help somebody? And when we get this right, we're going to see more of the power flow through us. And notice here in Luke 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Upon me for what? To preach the gospel to the poor. It's upon you to preach so you can help somebody. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. The anointing's on you to help people that are brokenhearted, that are hurt. To proclaim liberty to the captives, to help set people free so people will be healed. Recovery of sight to the blind. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Does the anointing talk anything about you and your needs? Not much. I mean, you can apply all that to you, that you'll be free and you'll be healed, yes. But you can be healed so you can help someone else. You can be prosperous so you can help someone else. You can be free so you're free to preach the gospel. So I think this is a key for the power to flow through us, to have our motives right. The Bible attributes the healings in the ministry, in Jesus' ministry, to the fact that He was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Again, that anointing, that power came on him to heal, to set people free. The power of God was with him because of his heart to set people free. And so I'll ask you this question tonight. Where is your heart? Do you have a heart to minister to people? Do you, you know, you say that you love God. If you love God, then you'll keep His commandments. If you have a love for God and His commandments, then you have a love for people. And you'll do whatever you can to serve people and to bless people and to minister to them. When the Holy Spirit came upon the early church, so did His power. Remember in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, on the day of Pentecost, and you'll notice ordinary people, when the power came on them, they now became witnesses. They went out in the streets and preached the gospel. We know in Acts chapter 2, Peter preached this sermon. Peter, a fisherman, an uneducated man, is now preaching a sermon, quoting scriptures. Isn't this awesome? And not only that, then 3,000 people are saved. That is just, it's mind-boggling. But that's hope for you and me. Many of us here today are more educated. We know more than Peter knew. We have more understanding than... So this is good news for us tonight. So we can preach the gospel. And the anointing will come on us. And maybe one day we'll see 3,000 people saved in one meeting. But I'm telling you, it's wonderful to see one person saved. It's wonderful just to plant a seed. One plants, one waters. God gives the increase. There's power that comes on you. And I'm just going to go through this list here of what this power is. The power to speak in tongues. A power comes on you to pray. That you are now able to pray with power. Instead of having your prayer list and reading through your 10 things, which is good. I used to do that. I'd have my prayer list. In fact, back when I was in the Catholic Church, I remember this in school. This is how we would pray. We would get all our prayer requests, and we would turn them into the teacher. And she would put them in a bowl, and she'd take a match, and she would light those prayer requests. And we all believed that as that smoke went up towards the ceiling, that they were going up to God. Well, I've come a long way since then, hopefully, that instead of just having a smoke spot on the ceiling, that actually now I'm hooked up to God. You know, some of the times or some of the most exciting times I have in my life are getting before God, either in corporate prayer or individual time, and begin to pray. And it's just something when God will take you. You may have in your mind what you're going to pray about, certain things that are maybe troubling you or maybe a burden that you're thinking about at that point. But as you open yourself up to the Spirit of God, you can be praying for the president. You can be praying about something in Afghanistan. You can be praying about something here in Augusta, you know, praying for some missionary in Africa. That you can make tremendous power available by your words. You can pray in the Spirit and pray in understanding. And by your words, you can change something that's going on halfway across the world. That's powerful. That power is there. That power is available to you. But again, the key is you're going to have to pray. You know, and I like these moments of silence. And, you know, these things that we say to people, I'll be thinking about you. Those are all wonderful things. But I'm telling you, the power will not come on you until you open your mouth. And so if you want a power of God to flow through you, if you have a desire to pray, then you need to pray. It's just not going to happen. Well, Pastor, I'm waiting for that spirit of intercession to come on you. It'll never come. You'll be waiting until Jesus comes. The burden to pray really only comes for people that are prayers, people that have prayed and are experienced in prayer, and they can sense when that anointing comes on them, people that are experienced in prayer, and so they can sense when the Spirit of God is moving on them, and then they know to pray. But that very rarely, if and probably never, happens to people that don't pray. God's not going to call on someone that doesn't pray to pray about a situation over in some other part of the world. He's going to call on somebody that knows how to pray and that can get results. So if you want to have those kind of experiences, you're going to actually have to get in your prayer closet or come to some of these prayer times and actually pray in the Spirit. I'm telling you, this is not the time to talk about doing something. This is the time to actually do it. This is not the time to talk about prayer. This is the actual time to pray. Power to bear witness. To share the gospel. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. And this is Peter again on the day of Pentecost. Now when they heard this, they heard his message, they were cut to the heart. and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to all your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 were added to them. There is a power to be a witness. And it's the same thing. You can read all the books about witnessing. You can go to all the seminars about witnessing. You can listen to all the tapes about witnessing. But the power to witness will not come on you until you go witness. You will not experience that anointing to preach the gospel until you put yourself in a situation to preach it. I know we're living in this hour where we've got so much teaching that you feel inadequate, but you have to start. The 1,000-mile journey starts with the first step. "Well, Pastor, I'm not really called to do that. Pastor, you see, I have another anointing." No, you are called. Every one of us here is called to witness. Every one of us here is called to be a minister of reconciliation. And again, you may not walk in it. You may not choose to walk in it, but the calling is there. You can try to stuff it down. You can try to hide it. And you can say, try to put it off on someone else. But I'm telling you, it's calling you even tonight as I'm standing here. And there has to be a day when you say, "I'm going to do it." Overcome fear, overcome all the various reasons, overcome all the excuses. But if you want the power of God to flow, that message never would have happened until Peter stood up and preached it. And so, again, you have to step out. If you want the power to bear witness, the power to share the gospel. And maybe at first, maybe there will be some difficult times at first. Maybe you will be rejected. But nothing compared to the rejection that Jesus went through. Even if someone slapped you or someone spit on you, although I've never had that happen. In all the ministry that I've done, I've never had that happen. No one's ever punched me. The closest I've ever come was on the beaches of Daytona. When we were in a group, we were going down the beach, and this guy was cussing and saying all kind of things to people in our group. And I just went up there and stood right in front of him. And he swung at me, and his fist came right there. Can you feel that, Billy? It's just a little bit, a little shock there. That's as close as he got. That's the closest I've ever been to being punched for the gospel's sake. And I can't really even say I was being punched for the gospel's sake. I was just trying to be this macho man, trying to impress all the girls around me. And thank God, God protected me out of his mercy and his compassion. But even if they reject you, I'm telling you, every time you share the gospel, you're planting a seed. I remember that time that Brother Copeland was asked by I don't know if it was a family member or a friend, to go witness to someone. And he made tremendous effort. I don't know if he drove. He may have even flew in his airplane. I don't know. I think he drove. But he went to some expense and a lot of trouble to go see this man. And he comes up to the door and he knocks on the door and he opens his door and says, "You know, who are you?" And I said, "I'm Kenneth Copeland. I've been sent by so-and-so, and I'm here to share the gospel with you." And then he says, he starts saying, "If you will confess Jesus as Lord." Well, the man had had enough, slammed the door. And Brother Copeland turns around and he, you know, kind of mumbling to himself and going through all this trouble. But then he began to realize this is, you know, that he was able to get some scripture in there. And so he quoted Isaiah 55, "The word of God shall not come back void, but it'll prosper in the thing for which it's sent." So the man that Brother Copeland shared that little scripture with went and sat down, and he began to watch TV, and he began to think a little bit about it. And he began to think, "You know, I've never confessed Jesus as my Lord." And he went ahead and did it, and he made Jesus Christ his Lord, and he got saved. Just by, and I'm sure other people planted seeds, but I'm telling you, those words, the word of God is powerful. And you may feel like you've been rejected, but you, when you walk away, you just pray Isaiah 55, and you talk about having laborers come across their path, And I believe that word is working, that seed will produce that's been planted. Power to do signs and wonders. Acts 2, verse 43. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Miracles are the dinner bell for the gospel. And I believe the time is soon, very soon here, where we're going to now release our outreach teams to begin to pray for people as the Lord leads. And I'm telling you, when we start seeing some miracles, I mean, these four walls definitely cannot contain the people that are going to come into this church. One miracle could change a whole city. One miracle, I mean, in the right neighborhood or to the right person, could bring a lot of people to come to hear what you have to say. And again, it's not so we can have this big, great church and say how great we are. But again, our motives behind miracles are that lives will be touched, that lives will be changed, but also that it will attract people to the gospel. The power to be bold. And I believe this is being stirred up in this church. I'm already getting reports now of people just stepping out of their comfort zone. Boldness is unreserved speech. It's freedom of speech. It's where in the past you may have been timid. In the past you might have been afraid to pray for somebody. In the past you may have called someone else to go to that hospital room. But boldness is to say, no, I'm going to do it. Lord, you got to help me. I don't know what I'm going to say when I get there, but I'm just going to trust you, Father. I'm just going to trust the Holy Ghost to give me the words. And I'm here again, hearing testimony after testimony of people that are just stepping out, people that have come into this church and have never gotten anyone saved. Suddenly they're now out in the streets being some of the greatest witnesses we have for the gospel. They're bold. People going on, you know, on Friday or Saturday night, going on Washington Road, talking to people that are going into a gas station or a convenience store. That's boldness. But we hadn't seen anything yet, as far as I'm concerned. We're getting bolder and bolder and bolder. You know, in some of these stories that we're hearing about a family reunion or a family get-together, share the gospel, and everyone gets saved. Claudia was at, some kind of party. She went to get her husband, and they had a DJ and a microphone, and they were, you know, had the music flowing and the alcohol and everything else flowing too, and Claudia gets up there on the microphone and preaches the gospel to him. And people get saved. Every single one of them, praise God, got saved. Right with the beer bottle in their hands. I'm telling you, it's a new day. Other day, Billy Graham was on TV. He preached the gospel from this church with the whole cabinet and the president and the vice president and all the military leaders and all these dignitaries. All the former presidents were there, and the TV cameras were on him, and going across this country and across the world, really. And Billy Graham is on the TV preaching the gospel. He told the gospel story. And he was not, I don't know how old the guy is. He could barely get up there. But when he got up there, the anointing of God came on him and the boldness to minister, and he was able to share the gospel. Hallelujah. It's a new day. It's a new hour that we'll be able to minister in all kinds of situations, all kinds of circumstances, in hospital rooms, in grocery stores, at family reunions, at work, at church, on the street, and in neighborhoods, that we'll be bold witnesses. Power to speak for God. Look in Acts chapter 6. Now this is Stephen, this is the waiter. The waiter, Stephen, the guy that serves tables. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. And in verse 10, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Hallelujah. Ordinary people doing extraordinary things. I believe we have some other Claudias in this room. I believe we have some other people that are going to be in situations when you're going to have an opportunity to preach the gospel. I was on a ferry one time. We were in the nation of Panama, and we were going to an island called Toboga Island. And it was an island where a lot of military people go to have a day off. And We were going to go to the beaches and witness on this island. And we were on this ferry and we were on the upper deck. And the Panamanian people are very bold. They just didn't think nothing to grab a megaphone. They had a megaphone and they didn't care about what anybody else thought. They, you know, about offending anybody. They just stood up there and the Panamanian preached the gospel in Spanish. And then they handed the megaphone to the Americans and the Americans are going, you know, it was like a hot potato. No, I don't want to do it. You do it. You do it. And finally the megaphone came to me. I mean, these are all the leaders. I'm just like an underling here. And all these guys have much more ministry experience and they're passing the megaphone. And then finally it comes to me. And I said, hey, I'll do it. I didn't know any better. I just grabbed the megaphone and I began to preach the gospel. I just started telling everything I knew. It wasn't much. Told my testimony, how God changed my life, quoted one scripture. It's all I had memorized. And that was it. And then afterwards, I found myself with six Marines standing around me. And I'm, you know, much bigger than me. Muscular, muscle-bound kind of guys, really rough and tough kind of guys with the spiked haircut, and shared the gospel with them. Praise God. And I had to catch myself as I was standing there talking to him. My leg was kind of shaking. And I tell you, I've been in those situations over, you know, even Friday night, some situations that you get into. But praise God, God helps. Hallelujah. Power to speak for God. Power to cast out devils. Acts chapter 8. Then Philip, another waiter. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heed the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed. And many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city. I believe we're going to have those kind of situations. We're going to have the opportunity to cast out devils. I believe this is something that we're going to talk about in this church even before the year end. And we'll do several messages on this and talk about this. How to do it. How to handle these kind of situations. But I believe that we're going to have these to deal with and we'll deal with them. And the power of God will come on us. And we'll be able to handle it and cast out devils. We're not going to be afraid of any devils. We will not be afraid. Power to impart the Holy Spirit. Acts 8 verse 17. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. And again, talking about motives here. Simon had wrong motives. I believe that soon all of you are going to have an opportunity to lay hands on someone and to have them speak out in tongues. It is still just a marvelous experience every time that happens to pray with somebody. And it's easy. It's not difficult. Many times it's just overcoming fear, sharing a few scriptures. The person's hungry and laying hands on just in faith. And it's a supernatural thing. And they'll begin to speak in tongues. That can happen through any of us here. Any one of us. But it's not going to happen until you'll step out. It's not going to happen until you say, hey, I want that to happen to me. It will never happen by you just sitting in your seat. It'll, you know, and again, it may be just a matter of having your testimony. Hey, we're getting people saved on the streets with one scripture reference in Romans 10. Why not get someone baptized in the Holy Spirit with one scripture reference? Share your testimony. Have a scripture reference. And then pray for them. And trust God. You're not the one baptizing anybody. So don't have to worry because it's not you. You're not the one getting them saved. But if you want to experience it, if you want that power to flow through you, you're going to have to step out and say, first of all, begin to say, I'm anointed. I'm anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. You know, my daughter, Maddie Sue, back in the Good News Kids Club, she helps people get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Is it because she's so special? No, it's because she just stepped out. And it's for every one of us here. Because you are anointed. The power is already in you to do it. Power to access the realm of the Spirit. In Acts 10, it's talking about the vision that Peter had. I believe that more and more of us are going to have visions. More and more of us are going to have dreams. But again, it's not going to happen so you'll tell your dream and people will think, well, how great you are. Boy, isn't he spiritual? He's got a dream or he's got a vision. No, what happened when Peter had that vision, hallelujah, it hooked him up with Cornelius. And that is how the Holy Ghost got to the Gentiles. So the dream and the vision is not so you have goosebumps and you say, you know, man, wasn't that wonderful? No, the reason for the dreams and the visions are to help other people. Hallelujah. And I believe I'm seeing a change in this church. I'm seeing the heart of this church to fulfill this mission, blessing our world with the power of the good news, that more and more people are taking it serious. More and more people are taking it as their job description, that more and more people are not just looking to someone else to do the work, that each of us are taking our responsibility and taking our supply. And so I believe, therefore, we're going to see more dreams, more of these things happening with people, more dreams and visions happening. Why? Because our hearts are right. God is not going to entrust power to, for example, I'm not going to give, you know, the other day we talked about shooting a snake. I'm not going to give that shotgun to Grayson. And we'll say, here, Grayson, just take this shotgun, go down to the creek and start shooting. I'm not going to do that. Why? Because I don't trust him with it. I'm going to train him and teach him. And when I think he's ready, then I'm going to say, here, and then we'll go out someplace. Here, you shoot that gun. Maybe I'll let him shoot it once. Or how about with the car? With some, you know, I'm not going to say, here, Maddie, here, take the keys to the car and just go for a ride. I'm going to give her the keys after she's gone through training. When she's ready to drive, I'll let Susie take her out and train her. But it's the same thing with this kind of power. Visions and dreams and different anointings. I mean, God's going to be looking at your heart and your motives. What's your purpose in it all? Do you love people? Do you desire to people, desire to see people saved? Do you desire to see people healed? Is this your passion? Does the gospel burn within inside of you? Does love for other people just permeate your being? Does it motivate what you do in life? Does it motivate what you do with your money and the prayers you pray and what happens at your household? This will determine how much power flows through you in your life. Now, the early church walked in great power. Look over in John. And if you listen closely to what I'm saying tonight, you're going to find some keys to walking in the power. John 14, verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. I want to point out one of the words in there is work. Ministry is work. Now, just like your job, you can go to the office and work, and you can enjoy it if you want, or you can not enjoy it. It's really up to you. But it's the same thing for preaching the gospel. Ministry is work. And at times, it can be hard work. So, just so you realize that, there, you know, going out on Friday or going out on Saturday is work. And that's why a lot of folks don't come. Do you mean I have to go out and actually do something? Yeah, you have to work. There's work involved. But you can get to the place where you can enjoy work. I've always enjoyed the jobs, the various jobs I've had. I enjoyed it when I was a waiter. I enjoyed working. He said, Pastor, you're crazy. Well, I was going to be there anyway, so I might as well make the best of it. So I enjoyed it. I learned to enjoy work. It can be the same way. You can learn to enjoy preaching the gospel. You can learn to enjoy witnessing. You can learn to enjoy. Yeah, it's work. It's going to take some time. It's going to be some effort. There's going to be some times when you don't feel like doing it. There's going to be some times when you don't want to leave it to someone else to do. But if you'll learn to enjoy it, you're going to be able, I believe the people that will do the work of the ministry are going to have some of the most satisfied and most exciting lives. The greatest miracle is still someone being born again. It is a miracle. Someone that was going to hell, someone that was in Satan's kingdom, Satan had him in bondage, and because you shared the gospel, because you were a willing vessel, you shared the words of life, that person was transferred from death to life. It's a miracle. Greater works than these you shall do. What does it say in Ephesians 4? What does the pastor do in the fivefold ministry? Equips you for the work of the ministry. Everybody say this. I love work. I love to work. I enjoy work. Hallelujah. Now, like I asked the folks that I shared the gospel with, now, did you mean that? Do you enjoy it? Hallelujah. You can. Look over in Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." And so he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones receive strength. Now we read that story. We read that account, and so many times it's like a big mystery to us. How could that happen? Did something just come on Peter and John? Was it a gift of the Spirit? What happened there? But I'm getting some insight that this miracle here is not really as complicated as we think it is. Even on Friday, when I was out ministering, I was walking along, and I've learned now, as we're doing these outreaches, to look inward, to listen onto to the inside. And I was walking along, and I just felt like, well, we need to go this way, down this block. And I came up to a group of guys. There were probably about four houses down there, and I just kind of looked on the inside. Holy Spirit, do you want me to go down there? And immediately, no, don't go down there. So I just have learned to trust that voice. And so I made a right turn, went to the other side, and went down that other side. And that happened over and over again. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit directing you. It's the same voice that will say, "Look at me." The same voice that will speak through you and say, "Look at me," and grab him by the right hand and lift him up. It's the same Holy Ghost. He'll show you how to work a miracle. But again, it starts by you being trained in what we call the little things. You can learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit in the offerings. You can learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit while you're witnessing. You can learn to, as you're driving down the road, you know, or to do something. Sometimes you ever had like a check, you don't need to do that. Or sometimes it just seems right. It seems like the right thing to do. You're hearing from the Holy Spirit. And so these miracles that we read about in the Bible aren't really as mysterious as we think they are. It's just people that have trained themselves, people that are sensitive to the Holy Spirit and have learned to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And that is available to everyone here tonight. But then again, though, we have to make the decision am I going to be sensitive? I told you that story about me at the grocery store where the Lord was leading me to witness to the girl behind the counter. I was sensitive to hear the voice, but I still had a choice to make, and I decided not to share the gospel. I made a decision. And he may even lead you to do something, to pray for somebody, but you can still say no. But then, so it's going to take what it says in Isaiah, a willingness and an obedience. First of all, the willingness is a sensitivity, a willingness to be open to the Spirit of God, and then obedience to what he says to you to do, do it. Those are some keys there for miracles to happen. The apostles worked miracles and cast out the devil. Peter restored the paralytic. Peter raised Dorcas from the dead. Look in Acts 9. And again, I mentioned that this morning about the firemen and the policemen in the time of crisis. They were not afraid. They're training, what they've been trained to do. You know, you talk to someone, too, about CPR. They maybe have had to perform CPR. Well, were you nervous about that? I mean, or were you afraid that you won't be able to do it right? No, my training just kicked in. Well, it's the same thing for us. In these kind of situations, our training will kick in. What kind of training have we had? Hopefully the right training. But Acts 9, verse 36, at Joppa there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. The woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did, but it happened in those days that she became sick and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in the upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent the two men to him, imploring him not to delay in their coming. Then Peter arose and went with them. And when he had come to them, they brought him to the upper room. And all the widows stood by him, weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter pulled them all out and knelt down and prayed. I went to minister to someone last night at the hospital. You know, it was the first thing. You don't always have time to do this. But every time I go to minister to somebody, if I have time, I take a moment to pray. And I went into the chapel there at the doctor's hospital, and I got alone, and I had my Bible there, and I read a few scriptures, and I began to pray in the Holy Spirit. And I said, Father, just show me how you want me to minister. And every time I do that, I always get a leading and either a scripture or something to do while I'm there in that hospital room. And so really, it's not that complicated. And maybe one of these times, I'll be in the chapel room and I'll pray, and maybe the person will have died. And the Lord will give me direction, just like he did every other time, and go up there and raise him from the dead. Why not? Hallelujah. But again, sensitivity, listening, and turning to the body, he said, and I believe the Holy Ghost showed him what to do. Tabitha, arise, and she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Hallelujah. I tell you, one of those kind of miracles will change this city. Hallelujah. But they experienced it. Paul and Silas experienced an earthquake that delivered them. Talk about powerful prayers. How'd you like to be praying in your house and the house starts shaking? Or the neighborhood started shaking? Or maybe we started praying here in church and the building started to shake? Or maybe the whole block? In this particular experience, it wasn't just an earthquake. To say, man, we had an earthquake, wasn't that great? Again, it was so lives were touched. The jailer was about to kill himself. It was an open door to share the gospel, and he and his whole family got saved. Hallelujah. God will go to great lengths to get people saved. God will go to great lengths to touch people's lives. People associated the early church with the same power that was on Jesus and called them Christians, little anointed ones. I believe that's happening today. They're going to associate Christians with the power of God. They're going to associate Christians with lives being changed, people being raised from the dead, miracles and signs and wonders, prosperity, all the things that we talk about in the Word of God, that they'll associate Christians with that. That they'll say there's something special. There's something that they'll recognize the anointing of God on our lives. The Spirit-filled life is one of great power. The Holy Spirit is on us to do mighty works. To do for people what Jesus did for them. Oh, well, that's a great quote there. Jesus said that supernatural signs would follow those who believe. You want a good confession? Look over to Mark 16. Start confessing this over your lives. Confession brings possession. What you say about you happens in your life. And again, just like everything else can you confess, you may not see it today, but it will come to pass. If you believe it in your heart and speak it with your mouth. What I like to do is get those index cards and find various scriptures that are meaningful to you and work them and rewrite them into confession and take those cards and start confessing them on a daily basis. Mark 16, verse 15, and he said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned, and these signs will follow those who believe. Who's a believer here tonight? These signs will follow you. In my name, in the name of Jesus, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Pastor, none of these things happen for me. Well, let me ask you, do you believe that they will? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Have you developed your faith for these things to happen in your life? Put the Word in. Put it through your eyes, in your ears. Speak it with your mouth. Now, I'm just talking, again, for people that want it. And I just know for myself, you've heard me say this, I'm tired of talking about it. Can anybody relate to that? I'm tired of talking about it. I'm going to do it. I'm just not going to talk about winning 10,000 people. We're going to do it. So, you know, we can talk all day till we're blue in the face. Apply the principles of faith. If you want these things to work for you, and I'm telling this, just like this fan here, you are plugged in to the power source. If you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, you are plugged into the power source. But now it's time to flip the switch and to release the power. Start releasing the power in your prayer time. Start releasing the power in your confession time. Start releasing the power when you talk about yourself. And that will be the beginning. Just like some of these other things. You've done it in for healing for your body. You've done it in prosperity. You've done it in other different areas. Maybe peace. Maybe some of you have had trouble sleeping and you've done this. Now we're just taking another step and doing it towards ministry. And begin to see yourself as a minister. Begin to see yourself as an ambassador for Christ. To begin to see yourself as a person that God works through. Begin to see yourself as someone that God uses. Begin to see that when you arrive on the scene, things are different because you're there. You're not a nobody. You're a somebody. Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go away. Why? So the power will come on you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to be a somebody. I want to make a difference in the world. How about you? And we have an opportunity to do that. We may not be able to go to New York City and work on that building and help them rebuild the city. We may not be able to go, you know, the victims that were hurt as far as doctors to go, you know, we may not be able to do those things, but we can do our part. That we can operate in the power that's on us. We can go out into our city. What's the best thing we can do for New York City? Win this city to Christ. Amen? To do our part. Hallelujah. The power of the Holy Spirit enables us to demonstrate the gospel that we preach. 1 Corinthians 2. Demonstration. That word means the act of making evidence or proving, conclusive evidence. It's an illustration or an explanation. It's a public display. God is wanting to do public displays of His power. God is wanting to display His power in this hour, but I'm telling you, it's going to come through people. God is just not going to come on Augusta and do works here. God is not going to go to Doctor's Hospital and do miracles there. No, He's going to use somebody. He's going to use an ordinary person like you and me to go do the works. Well, Pastor, what if I fail? Hey, join the club. You know, you read about all these people that have been successful in business. Abraham Lincoln, how many things did he fail in before he became president? If he would have quit back there after failure number 10, where would this nation be? Would we even be here? All of us have to deal with failure. Yes, you may fail, but you just get back up and you go at it again, and the Holy Ghost will help you. He'll empower you. He'll comfort you when you're down. If you fail, He'll comfort you. He'll help you get back up, and He'll help you get back in there and go at it again. He's the strengthener. He's the intercessor. He's the advocate. He's the standby. But He cannot help you if you quit. He can't help you if you give up. The gifts of the Spirit are all supernatural demonstrations of His power. 1 Corinthians 12. When the Holy Spirit is in manifestation, His power flows freely. These gifts are special endowments of His power that impact men in a variety of ways. Pastor, boy, I wish those gifts would just work through me. Again, do you covet them? Do you desire them? Do you hunger for them? Do you crave after them? Do you act on the Word of God? It's just not going to come to those that are just sitting there doing nothing. It's not when the gifts of the Spirit are going to come on you. The gifts of the Spirit will come on you when you step out. And the gifts of the Spirit, like the other things in the Word of God, is going to take faith. If you are not developed in faith, the gifts of the Spirit will not flow through you. You got to believe them. You got to receive them. And they operate by faith. You got to trust God in order for them to work. The power of His Spirit living in us gives life to our mortal bodies. Let's read this, Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. The resurrection power is in you. That's a good confession. Say that. The resurrection power is in me. It flows through me. Hallelujah. Begin to believe it. Begin to say it. Begin to say it about yourself. Begin to believe that when you arrive on the scene, when something's dead, you know, maybe you're going into a business that's dead. Resurrection. Glory to God. Resurrection power's on you. Maybe your finances are, maybe your checkbook is dead. Grab your checkbook and command life to come into it. Resurrection power. Resurrection anointing's on you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Hallelujah. So many times, the power of God is released by our words. Your words. Your words. What you say. You want more power in your life? Train yourself to speak God's Word. Train yourself to listen. To listen and think before you speak. Cut out a bunch of the junk that's in our vocabulary. If you'll be sensitive, you'll say something and the Holy Spirit on the inside will say, that ain't right. And He'll say, ain't too. That ain't right. Has that ever happened to you? Well, in my house, they just correct me. They're all the Holy Ghost over there. Kids will correct you. But if you'll be sensitive, you'll begin to clean up your vocabulary. And as you clean up your vocabulary, more of the power of God will flow in your life. Just do that, make that one correction, and you'll see more miracles happen in your life. Paul prayed that we would know through experience for ourselves the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. Let's read that in Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, or let's just start with verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. He wants you to know. He wants you to know some things. What is the hope of his calling? What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? What is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us? He wants us to know about the power. He wants us to know, just like an electrician knows how power flows and works, all the laws of electricity. God wants you to know the laws of the power of the Spirit. He wants you to be skillful in these things. He wants you to have an understanding of these things and to be able to see it and to be able to work it. What is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him in him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Hallelujah. God wants you to know your calling, the inheritance that you have, and he wants you to know about the power that's available for you, and he wants you to know how that power will work through you. I just hope tonight that we'll wake up, that this church will wake up, that we'll begin to realize that we are anointed, that God wants to use us. God wants to use kids. God wants to use young people. God wants to use senior citizens. God wants to use men and women, any kind of race and background and size and shape. God wants to use you, but he has to have a vessel. He has to have someone that will say, "Here I am, Lord." Has to have someone that will open themselves, that will hunger and thirst for righteousness. Those are the ones that are going to be filled, and those are going to be the ones that God will use in this hour. And I believe, again, the reason why you're here in this school for life is to be trained. I believe we're raising up champions. I believe that we're going to see miracles all over this city because of you, because you're going to go into your world with the power of the good news. This message tonight is all about our mission. It is all, if you're ever wondering, well, what does that mean? We'll go back over this message tonight. This message tonight is all about blessing our world with the power of the good news. It's for every one of us. Amen. I want to close tonight by praying this Ephesians prayer for this church. Hallelujah. Father in heaven, thank you for the people tonight. Grant them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of their understanding being enlightened, that they may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, that they may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe.